everyone. Your designers are here.
I'm Anita from Cedar Hill Farmhouse.
And I'm Yvonne at Stone Gable.
And I'm Kelly at My Soulful Home.
We have tips and tricks and decorating advice for you. So let's get started.
Welcome to episode 25.
Woohoo! 25!
Decorating shelves.
Ooh,
so this turns
controversy,
out...
Controversy.
That's right. Lots to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. It's the controversy in the decorating world. And we're going to approach this topic head on. So what is the controversy?
To be open or not.
Yes. And what are your thoughts?
There is a lot of controversy. We see a trend, especially in kitchens, where people are forgoing kitchen cabinets in lieu of putting some open shelves. It's a really pretty, fresh look, and that's one of the big controversies. Should you do it, or should you go cabinet? You know, one or the other, open mm-hmm. shelves or cabinets.
And well, while it is a fresh look, it's also... a classic look, because if you think about it, you know, Mrs. Patmore wasn't clonking herself in the head with cabinets, doors on the top. You know, all the stuff was open mm-hmm. back in the old days where they could just grab it because it was utilitarian. Maybe they weren't as concerned about vignetting and having all their dishes mm-hmm. match.
And styling, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an older look that's making a resurgence. It also is pretty cost effective because when you don't have to get cabinet doors, you're saving a lot there.
What I say
as far as open shelving, particularly in the kitchen or not, is know thyself.
We do tend to get a little philosophical here, don't we?
We do, because, you know, decorating is, you know, comes from the heart, says a lot about you, and it's where you live. It's, you know, it's not decorating, you know, an office or a spot where you're only visiting. You're mm-hmm. there all the time. So if it doesn't function well for you, or you're going to be stressed out that your dishes don't match or people aren't putting them back in the shelves just at the right angle, or they're getting dusty and it's mm-hmm. making you upset, then maybe you shouldn't have them. Or just have a tiny little shelf that's open. And we'll talk about those too.
Or
yeah,
even
I'm going to mention Mrs.
some things
Patmore.
Behind glass.
Mm-hmm. So back to the Mrs. Patmore. Back then,
I love her.
I know. Well, there wasn't any Tupperware sitting on the countertop or plastic spoons or paper plates. So
yes.
Everything she put on the shelves looked awesome.
Fabulous.
It was utilitarian and fabulous. In fact, I think we're all trying to replicate that look now and make it look like Mrs. Patmore is in our kitchens.
You're
in a modern,
right.
updated way. Mm-hmm. That's
yes,
true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. I think the key there is you have to have really neat people in your house
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and people that put things back in the right spot. See, that would never work in my house. I'm always rearranging the Tupperware drawer, and I'm always putting the silverware in a new place or putting the dinner plate somewhere else. I'm always rearranging
You're doing
things.
That?
Oh, my family would be so confused. Yes, I do that all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, Peter sometimes asks me where, you know, like a utensil is, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, there's too many
scary.
People in my kitchen. I'm the one who has no clue where anything is. I'm like searching around in all the drawers.
I know.
Oh, no, I'm
idea.
Like a savant. I'm like, what's that magician where he'd hold something to his head and I'd be like, oh, your white knee sock is in the left-hand drawer in the guest room. Oh, the
yes,
peeler. Actually, I know. The peeler's in the third drawer down on the right-hand side.
But
oh,
did
yeah,
they
we
put
had
it away? Mm-hmm. See, when my kids come home, I'm so glad that they, like, help and empty the dishwasher. But then I spend the next week on a hunt. Like, where did they put that this week, you know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So let's get back to the shelving.
That's right, Anita. Keep us on track.
I was going to say something about water bottles, too. Okay, yes, better shelving.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. Okay, those kind of multiply, too. But now I want to say, because I'm working on designing a kitchen at our mountain place, mm-hmm. this kind of came up because I wanted to rip out all the upper shelving and put in these beautiful... open shelvings and rip out all the cabinets. Excuse me, I said that backwards. But, you know, I really had a long talk with the cabinet guy, and he was saying, you're going to be losing all this storage, and, you know, some of the stuff you have to store is not pretty. Mm-hmm. So, or, you know, doesn't display well on
How
shelves.
Dare he say that? first
but
of
Anita,
all.
But
does he
Anita,
know who he's talking to?
You have other people coming to live and visit in that mm-hmm. home.
Right, yeah. right.
And that
yeah.
makes a big difference.
Yeah,
see,
they're
if
not
I had to
style
do it all over again, I would definitely have shelves until I got tired of them. Then I would have the money to put the cabinets back up. I would love to live with that for a while.
That's a
well,
good
well, having just done my kitchen, you know, quite
okay.
recently, mm-hmm. I had to have a long talk with myself about open shelving. And I thought I was going to have some open shelving. And even though mm-hmm. I have the biggest kitchen I've ever had, and probably by, you know, other people's standards, maybe it's not that big, but it's very big for me, I still didn't have a lot of cabinet space because mm-hmm. you have the appliances and, you know, you have windows and we have a big glass doors. So I decided to forego the open shelving, even though I do have all white dishes. I always have since I registered, and I did register when we were getting married, mm-hmm. and I still have those same dishes. And I tend to all white with my mugs and whatnot, except one very special one that we'll talk about later on. And so I did the closed cabinets, and I'm very happy I did, but I had an area where I put in a hutch, a freestanding piece of furniture that slid right in. Mm-hmm.
And that's a beautiful
spot.
Look, so it's not like all matchy-matchy. Mm-hmm.
Right, so I got a mm-hmm. best of both worlds. I have an open area where I can just put my ironstone and my pretty stuff and stack it up and mm-hmm. play around with it, but the everyday things, the juice glasses and, you know, the bowls that don't match and all of that can be closed behind the doors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy
very
with
smart.
That.
Very smart. Well, you know, the kitchen's not the only mm-hmm. place mm-hmm. that there's shelving in our homes.
So true.
You know, I have a breakfast area and I have open shelving. We have a bar on the far wall and we have open shelving above that. And I know we all have bookcases, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, but also we're talking about what else today? I mean, china cabinets.
Hutches, yep.
And then also cabinets that have doors on the glass on the doors. Those are mm-hmm. we're also talking about those. Anything where you can see the things on the shelves, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So, but before we move on, how do we three fall on in the controversy? Would you do open shelving
in a heartbeat.
In your kitchen specifically or not?
In a heartbeat.
I would like to
for
do
a while.
Well, I'd like
for
to say
while.
Yes. Well, what I've done in my kitchen is the glass front cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're
I don't know.
Beautiful.
That's a tough one for me. I'm not sure I have a good answer to that because although I love my glass front cabinets because I have them styled for photography since I'm a blogger and I work with magazines so much, I'm really not able to use them to store my junk there. They're styled. So mm-hmm. it's really in a way almost like I've lost the use of that space.
Right.
So that is something to consider.
Right. And most people don't want to lose. I mean, they need mm-hmm. the space in their kitchen. So right. my thought on the open shelving in the kitchen is really think about it. Mm-hmm. Know yourself whether or not you're going to be happy with, you know, if you enjoy fluffing up your shelves, fantastic. This might be the best thing for you. And I enjoy that. But if you want it, I would say do it in moderation. Mm. Find a small yeah. area, make it limited,
right?
And so then you can have the functionality of you know, the
cabinets.
Things hidden behind the closed mm-hmm. doors.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's what, you know, our butler's pantry, it's all open shelving there. And that's where I store the crystal and there's a window there and the light shines through it. It's really beautiful.
Oh, that's so pretty.
I think that's something that I would very much agree with you on, Kelly, is if you want to try the open shelving, I probably wouldn't rip out all the upper cabinets, but just kind of try maybe a smaller area.
Right. Mm. So how about we segue then into the glass, which is kind of like, you know, one step from completely open. You have that now, right, Anita?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, right. And it's really beautiful. But like I said, it does mean that you have to be careful what you put in it. So it's not going to be as functional or as utilitarian as a storage would be if you had a closed door.
I have glass, some limited glass cabinetry mm-hmm. in my kitchen on either side of my cooktop. And then over by my pantry, I have another glass cabinet as well. And Anita's right. You know, you can't put like your Tupperware or, you know, the things that your mismatch water bottles, like you were saying. You can't put those in there. But what I find them very useful for is stacking dishes, because I have all white dishes, and I have like white berry bowls and white pitchers. And so I can artfully stack all of that. And they're used, but they look nice stacked. So that's one way I've used my glass. Now, I don't use it for, my crystal actually is in a closed cabinet, because I prefer to see, for my look, I know your look is so different than mine, Anita. For my look, I want to see all that, those white dishes and white cake plates and things.
Well, the white dishes are in the other part of the kitchen, so I've got that too.
Yes, you do. It's beautiful. You have such a beautiful kitchen. But I think that putting things behind glass, it obscures it a little. But yet you still have to follow the same policy that you do for anything that's open, because it does have to be styled. And obviously, you're listening to this podcast because you like decorating, and style is important to you. So you do, you can use it functionally to stack a lot of plates and pretty things, but you can't just use it to throw any old thing you want in there.
Good point.
I've had glass cabinetry in the last three houses that we've had. So in New York, and two houses in New York, and then one here before this house. I do not have glass in my kitchen right now. I loved it. It very much went with the look of my prior homes. And in each one, I did a water glass or a seated glass, which, like Yvonne says, does obscure it.
Yes, it's, that's beautiful.
Love that. It might be, or people have even done frosted glass. I've seen that. That's a bit more of a modern look to my eye. Yeah. But so I had the seated glass, and you can either have it true lights, which means that you have, you know, the divides, true divides, like you would in a French door or something like that, where they actually have ones that snap in, which is it's a little bit less expensive. So if you wanted the look where you were having smaller panes. So, and then there's an option of doing a leaded glass, which I also did. One time I did it where actually the leading was in the glass, so it was a pretty design right in the glass. Or they have this thing, it's like little leaded strips, and it's it sort of peels off, it comes in a coil, and you can do your own design. Now, I wouldn't suggest doing, you know, 20 cabinets like this, but maybe if you have two, which is what I had in one of the houses, it was like two on either side of my range hood, and so they were kind of more the POW, you know, standout cabinets, and then I just had a plain run of wooden. And so I did my own very simple design, and I'll tell you, it looked so authentic.
Do you mean like that grid work?
Yeah, but it's a little piece of lead, just like, you know, if you've seen leaded glass.
I think they're called mullions.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the mullions. That's, you know, usually like the wood or something that would be between the panes of glass. This is actually, you know, if you've seen leaded glass that has a good decoration.
Like a stained glass.
Like almost, yes, in almost like
that.
stained glass.
Okay.
And you can purchase that, and you can create your own, you know, I would suggest doing a simple design. And I did that in our last house in California, and it was lovely. And it was a lot less expensive than having the lead actually put in the glass like I had done previously. So with the obscured glass, whether it be seated, frosted, watered, you know, there's so many different types, and you can go to your local glass guy. You know, there's always like one of those little shops in every town where they replace glass or make windows, and they would have a selection for you to look at of samples of the different kinds of glasses with the obscuring in them. We also had our front door like that in our last house in San Marino to get, let more light in. But, you know, so you could kind of, you obviously you could see somebody was there, just like you can see your glasses or your plates, but you can't see exactly what's going on in there, depending on the degree of seating or water. So I think that's a nice option for people who want a look
more
with
open
the glass.
Look.
And one more thing on the glass is that if you do do it, and particularly if it is a cabinet where you're going to have maybe some pretty crystal or glassware, you may want to have lights put in at the top of the cabinet and then do glass shelving so the light can
come
down through. And again, that's a nice sort of like a night light to have on. I had that in my last house, and that was really pretty.
Idea.
Well, and Kelly, I have we have wooden garden shelves in our, and then we have lighting in a strip that goes down either side.
Oh, that's nice. Smart too.
Of our cabinet, and then it's on. Of course, everything in my house is on a dimmer, so it's on a dimmer, and it's just a lovely
we love dimmers.
Glow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sounds good. When I've had the lights, it's been sort of one of those little pin lights at the top, but along the side is a good idea too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've got chicken wire.
Yeah.
In some cabinets. So you don't even have to do glass if you don't want expense. That's a lot cheaper.
Very French.
Yes, very French.
Okay, good point. You know, I didn't think about this. I have in our office, I used a mesh material, and it's sort of a antique brass look. Mm-hmm. And I bought these sheets at Home Depot. They were $13.99 a sheet, and I had them put in so he cut out the wood part, so it's just the frame, and then put the mesh sheet in, and it has sort of like a little trefoil design in it. Ooh. It's so pretty.
I hope you're going to share some pictures of that in the show
notes.
I will.
Good.
That's awesome.
Well,
I forgot? We've had some winners.
Yes.
Everybody who listens to Decorating Tips and Tricks is a winner.
That's true.
But go ahead. We've had some giveaways, mm-hmm. and I'll announce mm-hmm. mine, and then the winner's name that I have, and then you can do yours, Yvonne. But
okay.
I've been giving away signed copies of my book, and the last winner of we gave away two we've already announced, and this is the third one, is Odessa. So
woohoo!
Congratulations, Odessa.
Yay, Odessa.
Thank you for your emails, Odessa. Thank you for all your suggestions. Yay. We've got them written down on our list of things to talk about, mm-hmm. and we're happy to give you a book.
That's right. So I'll be getting that to you. So I'll be emailing you, Odessa, and getting your mailing address. And then Yvonne has another winner for us of our $100 gift card, right?
That's right. We have a $100 Visa gift card giveaway winner, and we want to thank everybody for participating, and thank you for all your kind comments and the lovely things you said. And we really, really love and thank you for subscribing and reviewing to our Decorating Tips and Tricks podcast. And our winner is Marva. Marva, thank you so much.
Yay, Marva.
Really appreciate that.
Marvelous.
And, I emailed you, so you'll get hopefully you'll get my email, and we'll get that gift card right out to you.
Super.
Right, so let's
Anita,
get back to
good remembering.
Let's get back to open shelves, though. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what this is all about, shelving.
Okay. Yeah. So I let's talk about styling them. And I know that both of you have formulas, and I am dying to know what your formulas are for styling shelves, because I am kind of a free-form, shoot-from-the-hip kind of person, and I don't have a formula, so I want to hear yours. So, Yvonne, what's yours?
Okay, well, I think styling any kind of a shelf, a bookshelf, open shelving, a hutch, anything that has shelves in it, in multiples, not just on one straight plane, is the hardest thing that I do when I decorate, or it used to be. So I had to come up with something because I couldn't figure out how to do it well. I would look at all these beautiful, pictures of beautiful open shelves, and I had to find what is it that makes them so beautiful, how to break it down, and what would be a formula that I could reproduce. And here's what I came up with, and I have a couple posts actually about this. I'll put them in the show notes so you can see the exact example. Think of a grid or a tic-tac-toe board. Lines going down horizontally and vertically, and I break my open shelves up into a grid. I use the shelves as the vertical line, and depending on the length of these shelves, I divide them into evenly spaced vertical lines. So in my mind, I have a grid.
Wow.
And then I think, this is what I found, that I break every box in that grid. Let's say we have three open shelves, and it's wide enough to make three boxes going lengthwise. So it's like a three and three. So you have nine grids all together, mm-hmm. like in a box shape.
Okay.
And you're going to put a little vignette in each box.
Wow, but Yvonne, this is so easy for someone to replicate.
It is, and it's not, but you don't want to fill every box. You want to give your grid a like a resting spot, mm-hmm. so you want to leave some empty. Right. But here's what you want to do. You want to put things of a tight color palette. So in other words, you're not going to use all the colors of the rainbow. You're going to, and you know, I use a lot of whites and neutrals, maybe with a little pop of green. So I'm going to use the same color palette so it all comes together. And I love, and I say this all the time, like my burlap covered books, I love them. So let's say I'm going to use the elements of burlap covered books. I love cake plates, and they're fabulous to put in.
Me too.
When you're doing shelves, like even stacking, like a small one and a big one, we're going to use cake plates. Let's say it's fall, so we're going to use little baby white pumpkins, baby boo pumpkins, and we're going to use a few other elements and dishes. So you're going to, like in your top left grid, you're going to do a dish standing upright with a small stack of dishes with a white cup and a saucer and a little pumpkin stuck in that. So maybe your next space you're going to leave open, and the other space on the top you're going to do white things. So then the next shelf you're going to only decorate the middle. And you're going to use books, and you're going to use maybe another little pumpkin, because now you have a pumpkin in your top left grid. You don't want a pumpkin in your middle left grid. You want to move it diagonally. Do you see where I'm going?
Right. So you get the flow. So your eye goes.
Yes. And then the bottom shelf, you're going to do the same thing.
Isn't this something that happens naturally when you're looking at glass front cabinets? You've got the grids already there, right?
Yeah. But this is, it was so difficult for me just to do it, you know, like you said, sort of shooting from the hip, that I found this. I mean, I probably didn't make this up, but truly I did make this up. I didn't look for, you know, somebody who has a formula, but that's what I came up with. So you're going to repeat the elements. You're going to keep your color palettes tight. You're going to use a grid system, and you're going to leave some of the grids empty. And then, you know, you can play around. You know, I have these like little milk bottles, and I put a couple stems of some pretty little flowers in one, and then repeated that in another one. And you don't want to overfill, though. I think sometimes people get carried away and like just put so much stuff into it.
Right.
So, and I found that that's the best way for a beginner to learn how to style. And if you're not picturing it, I have in our show notes, I have a post that has the grids on the up on the, my open shelves, and I show you how I do it. Now I can sort of look at it, because I've done it for so long, and grid it myself, and maybe go a little bit rogue and off track now, because I know what I'm looking for. But also off-roading. Layers are so important. We talked about that when we did the mantle. We're going to talk about it when we're doing the pillow episodes in two episodes from now. But layer.
Right.
Okay, and that's what I do. I hope that
helps.
Is fantastic. And I think, Yvonne, you really hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's probably my biggest tip, and what I've learned from professional stylists working with, you know, the magazines that I work with, that you really do need some blank spaces. You've got to, whatever is
resting
in your shelves,
spaces.
It's probably too much. Because they pulled, when Country French Magazine was here, they pulled, some other magazines, you just shoot the way I have it, but they pulled out probably at least half of what I had in cabinets. So
interesting, right?
Yeah, what about you, Kelly? What's your formula?
Well, I'm probably somewhere in between the two of you, so that's kind of funny, right? So we each cover a little bit different, but there's overlap. I was doing a bookcase post on my blog probably a year or two ago, and it dawned on me while I was doing it that building vignettes and styling a bookcase is so similar to a legal case. And I started thinking about it.
You're always in the courtroom, our resident lawyer, of
right,
course.
And it's true, but it's kind of, you know, if you think about, you know, how you would build anything, and you apply that to, you know, decorating your bookcase, my count's sort of silly, but it's true. So
no, I can't wait to hear this.
Okay, so I mean, you know, you may kind of laugh at some of the analogies between the two, but I really worked for me as I was doing it. I thought, yeah, you start with a solid foundation. Like, you've got to have a good case, right?
Okay.
And then you're going to build methodically around your central theme. So if your theme is going to be, you know, a little seasonal, or your color palette, so you're working that throughout. And then the theme is threaded through the case. Like Yvonne said about that little pumpkin, you know, you're going to see that coming through, or whether it's a, you know, a texture or a color, you're going to see it flowing through the whole thing in different ways and in different amounts. Mm-hmm. And so then you're going to have the theme flowing through with the color and texture. It's kind of like your witnesses and your evidence in court, right? And so they all come in and they all are supporting your theme and your solid case. And then you're going to add something unexpected. And that's kind of like your smoking gun. That's your mysterious witness that busts through the door and comes in and, you know, and just like drops a bomb and their testimony.
Kelly, I will never look at a bookcase the same way again. I'm going to be always looking for that smoking gun.
That's right. Yeah, well, it's a place to store our plates and platters.
No. Yeah, and then you have the grounding spot where your eye can rest. So these are the facts that the jury can rely on. So it's like, okay, I'm digesting that. I got it. Okay, and then you toss in a bit of drama. Again, that could be your smoking gun or your surprise witness. In the particular bookcase I was doing, it was an iridescent feather duster, and I kind of thought of that as, you know, this like Jones Collins type flying into the courtroom, and there you
go. She's come up in two podcasts. Do you believe that?
Isn't that funny? And she's like my, you know, she's like my great grandmother's age. Who knows? So that's how I do it, you know. And you know, it was funny when I was thinking about the legal case and that, but. Solid foundation, you build methodically around your theme, which whether it could be seasonal or colors or palette, textures, thread it all throughout, add a little something unexpected. Like Anita said, and I think at a previous podcast, you know, each room should have something unexpected. Mm-hmm. So should a shelf or a bookcase. And then some grounding, some empty spots, like you spoke about, Yvonne. And then I think you've got it all, you know, wrapped up. Oh, and
so
step back and take a look.
I'm applauding. Yay. Can you hear me?
Let's submit it to the jury.
Let me just throw something in really quick. The death of a bookcase or an open shelf is when it looks cluttered.
Yes.
Yes. Agreed. Yes.
Death by clutter.
Death by clutter. There you go. And you don't want the jurist to find you guilty by death by clutter.
No! Oh, that's right. It's perfect.
How about you, Anita? Our free spirit.
Well, I mean, I just kind of, I put it up there, and I don't really, like I said, I don't really have a formula. So I kind of play around, but I leave lots of empty spaces and mix it up so that it's not all in any kind of particular order. You don't want to be able to decode the pattern. So you want it kind of mixed up and a little bit random. So, yeah, I mean, I thought we might be able to talk about the kind of things you would put on a shelf if the shelf is not in the kitchen.
Oh, books, burlap covered books.
Right. Or
pictures, small pictures.
Yeah. The famous moss balls and you know, something I love, you know, obviously vintage things, maybe a vintage canister or a pretty little vase or a little white pitcher, something like that. And I think you can, you know, think out of the box. If you really just like the shape of something, like I'm really into flower frogs right now.
Oh, me too. I love those.
I collect those, Kelly.
I do too.
What? Yes.
I'm looking at one right now, which made me think of it. And
that's funny.
You know, they're so pretty, and you can stick stuff in them too. You know, I have a tiny little one, which I wonder where that is. But I have this tiny little one, and one time I took a picture for my blog, and I just wrote on it, it was like, you know, Merry Christmas or something like that, and I stuck the little tag right in the flower in the frog. And of course, it's
like a little place card holder.
Yeah, like a little card holder. Or you could stick feathers in it or, you know, anything.
So cute.
Well, and I like vintage scales or clocks. And the other thing, because I collect dishes, I put dishes everywhere. So I don't care where that shelf is. I'd slap some dishes on it.
So do I. Absolutely.
You know what I like to do with the dish, too? And oftentimes on a shelf, they have that little... little quartered out area where, you know, something can rest in the back. You can prop up a dish or, you know, you can sort of cheat and even put those little push pins and just stick it into your wood if you're okay with that.
Or I have like a sticky tack.
Yeah, or a sticky tack so the thing doesn't slide.
Oh, great idea.
Right, and so you put that behind. You know what's real pretty to put behind too is, well, again, tarnished in my case, but if other people like them shiny, but silver platters, and that gives you the mirror effect.
Yes, great idea.
Yes, and you know what else I use? Because remember, we're talking about varying heights. Yes. Which is so important. You don't want everything to be the same height. You want something small, something's tall, something's book stacked horizontally that you can put something on top of. But I've used rattan round chargers.
I do too. They're in my hutch right now.
That texture is amazing when you do
that. I have about a stack of 8 of them and a little white picture on sitting on top of them.
So let me just bring up a point I wanted to make.
Okay,
and that is you really need to be careful that everything is sized appropriately. So even though you said something, you can put some small things, Yvonne, I think we have to be really careful not to go too small because if it's too
small. Right, because they'll look non-existent.
Right, so be careful with that.
Can I bring up something else I use?
Well, we're getting close on time, so how about this being our last little tip.
I have to hear what she has to say.
I'm going
to
actually give two really quick.
Okay,
one
two really
is
good tips.
Because my back of my house is such an open plan that I can look from my mudroom door all the way. The farthest thing is my mantle, and I have bookcases on either side. But there is so much going on till you get to those bookcases, like my kitchen, my breakfast room, my family room, and then at the back of that I have bookshelves that I don't put anything on but baskets. They're all the same size. And they're arranged a little, you know, they're exactly the same, and they're arranged a little differently on each shelf to give it interest, and they're numbered because by the time you would get there, if I put a whole bunch of stuff on it, your eyes would just be in super overload.
Right. So it's almost like a resting spot.
Yeah. And so I found that works, and I can stash a whole bunch of books in there, and it doesn't look cluttered. So that's a good thing to think about. And here's the other thing. Biggest question I get asked about open shelves is, doesn't everything get dusty?
Oh, good question.
Well, life gets dusty.
It does. Clean it up. I have an ostrich feather duster, too. One downstairs, one upstairs. I love them. And it's perfect.
I'm getting one of those. I mean, I have to run around my house.
It's perfect to dust a bookshelf because it has a light touch.
Yes,
and it really will. I mean, unless you're really like whipping it around, you don't want to do that. But you can really get the dust off. And if like I've got a big ironstone bowl sitting there, if my kids want to pick it up to put popcorn in, I just, you know, remind them, hey, guys, make sure you wipe that out, you know, because it can get dusty. But they don't get that dusty. It takes me, you know, swish, 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 and it's done.
Nice.
Swish, 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 and it's done, which is a great segue into the end of our podcast. Exactly. Well, obviously, you guys listening, we could keep talking about this for a long time, so we might have to revisit this topic after we cover a whole bunch more interesting things about decorating your homes. But today we are going to conclude this episode about decorating your shelves. We hope you learned a lot. We certainly enjoyed talking with you, and remember, we're here to inspire you to create a beautiful home. Hey there, if you're loving our podcast like we're loving our podcast, we would love you to rate and review us. Head to iTunes to do that. It's easy and it would mean so much to us. And if you do rate and review us, we're going to enter you to win a fantastic giveaway. The details for the giveaway are in the show notes for this episode, and you can find the show notes at decoratingtipsandtricks.com.